Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Julieta Televi, and tackling your questions on the line this evening, Azwe Lakim Guni from Benguela Global Fund Managers and Jonathan Fisher from PSG Wealth, Santon Grayson. If you'd like to send us questions, please SMS 41392, email stockwatch@bvtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Before we get into it, though, and introducing some more Bloomberg content into the mix, here's a quick take from a chap called Michael Every. He's head of Asia Financial Markets Research at Rabobank on why central banks are doomed if they raise rates in the face of rising inflation and doomed if they don't. And this, of course, has a bigger picture impact on the market. Let's take a look.
I would imagine we'll continue to levitate for now because there's still this underlying market belief that when push comes to shove, this liquidity will just turn up again, that the central banks aren't actually serious. If people really believed they were, I think equities would be reacting much more negatively than they are so far. So near term, I imagine we probably still have more up days than down days. But when we do suddenly get this shocked realization that, goodness me, we've got higher energy costs, et cetera, higher taxation and higher rates, all of this coming together, I think we can get quite a severe reaction to that before we see what central banks are actually targeting. Is it inflation or is it the equity market? We'll only find out when we or if we see that market reaction that I'm referring to.
Jonathan, I'm going to start with you this evening. Michael Every was saying that you've got central banks at quite a tricky point at the moment. Either they hike interest rates, they take the punch bowl away from the market, and there's going to be, I suppose, a serious impact to what's happening to equity markets, or they don't. Inflation gets out of control, and then they have a bigger problem down the line. Do you think this is going to increase a lot of introduce a lot of choppiness into stock markets for the foreseeable future until we understand how central banks are going to deal with this problem, this inflation problem?
So I think the discussion has already created a bit of choppiness in the markets because, you know, inflation, there's been this talk about is the inflation in world economies transitory or not? And right now, that doesn't seem to be. It seems to be that we are seeing inflation creeping into various economies, world economies, and the central banks really need, they're taking cognizance of this. So it is a fine line to kind of balance. And remember that central banks' role, one of their main roles, is to keep inflation under control. Now, what happens when they do that and they start raising rates? As we know, stock markets don't like that. And stock markets tend to take a knock when central banks start raising rates or making noises about it. So I think they need to be very careful how they do it and to do it in a very measured manner.
Zwelakhe, are you more worried about inflation let me rephrase that, central banks hiking interest rates, or are you actually worried about the inflation itself? In other words, higher energy prices, the toll this is going to take on consumers' disposable income, for example?
Yeah, Julieta, I do think that they probably have no option. At some point, they have to hike rates. And the reason being that while the root cause of this spike in inflation more recently is actually could be transitory because they blame supply chain issues, which we all know about, energy costs, that those could be short-term spikes. But I think what we mustn't underestimate is the second round effects where these things now have to be, because the suppliers and the retailers have to recover some of that increased price, and they have to pass on the price to the consumer. And that is generally how inflation sets in the economy. Yeah. So I do think that they probably have very little option, that at some point they're going to have to move. And the risk is that if they don't move, they're going to be behind the curve, because what we've seen with the money supply that's been coming through, it's been going to financial assets. If you look at house prices across the world, house prices are running ahead of consumer inflation. Mm. And if you look at the stock markets, that is also another area where we've seen financial assets running ahead. So they need to actually curb that element of financial speculation.
Mm. Yeah, Chish, I think the earlier guest said he didn't want to be in a central banker's position, and I can understand why. Right, getting to questions. Zwelakhe, I'm going to stick with you, and I don't know if you look at a company called Santova. It's a small logistics company It's done very, very well. It tends to fly under the radar, I suppose, of most fund managers, investor screens. But the question is, could you kindly ask the panel about their viewpoint on Santova? With a world economy and global supply chain getting back online and freight prices increasing, and how, do you think this company is poised to benefit? The fundamentals look very sound, but the share price just seems to be chugging along and looks undervalued. You could be speaking of the entire JSE small caps sector there. So we're like, do you think this might just be, people ignoring the small cap gems on the JSE, or could Santova's prospects not actually be as good as maybe some would argue they are?
Well, look, I think the one issue is the liquidity. So that is probably why it falls out of the radar. But if you look at their numbers, and particularly the revenue per employee, the profit per employee, they've been very good at managing their business from that perspective, because they are an asset-light model of logistics. So they don't want to own the trucks and the vehicles, but basically outsource them to other parties. They have the contact with the customers. But certainly, I do think that, I mean, they will probably benefit to some extent, but I doubt that they'll get the full benefit, because with the shortage of, for example, customers that are actually basically moving cargo, that might create a problem for them to actually get like a price hikes through. They might get a full price in, but they might not get the full benefit.
Okay. Jonathan, do you look at Santova? I mean, notwithstanding the fact that it is, as well, like I says, illiquid, which is a problem for fund managers, for retail investors, I imagine you could probably snap up enough stock to count for your own portfolio. Is this something that you'd be interested in?
So look, we don't generally look at these small cap counters. It is a small market cap. It's half a billion rand or just over that. But you know, your viewers talks about the price being a bit stagnant. Actually, I think if you look at a two-year chart, it's probably almost tripled. It's come from like 1.20 rand to about 3.60 rand or 3.70 rand. Mm. So it has actually done well over this past year and 2 years. And I think the numbers were generally good. Their last set of numbers, I think, was released around about May. And I think they increased their earnings by, in the high teens, about 17% or so. So if anything, they could benefit from the current environment. And I think the next set of numbers will be due in the next month or so.
Can I just pick up that point quickly? You make the point that over a three-year period, Santova's tripled. That is no mean feat of a performance. Do you think that investors are maybe... Okay, so I suppose it's
still cheap.
Okay. It depends on the time frame that this investor was looking at, or this person with a question on Santova, maybe right, in the last couple of weeks. But are we getting too greedy for returns in the markets? Have we gotten too used to some really spectacular gains, and actually it's time to start tempering your expectations? So we're lucky. Do you think people need to be a bit more circumspect about what they expect from the market?
Yeah, I think the question that needs to be asked is the sustainability of the earnings momentum. So they've done very well in the last year, as Jonathan said. And certainly, the sustainability of that momentum is what needs to be questioned. And in my view, they probably have a chance of actually continuing to some extent, because there's supply chain disruptions should benefit them. You know, if you can move somebody's cargo, they might pay you more than what they would normally pay you under normal circumstances. Where I've got a concern is that the volume of cargo might be limited by these supply chain disruptions. So there is a balance, but I would still skew to the direction of saying they might still be moving higher. I mean, they're only 8x a historic PE. So I don't think it's demanding, but I also don't think that there is much headroom left there. I mean, probably 10 times would be fair.
Okay. I'm going to move on to a different question. And it also sort of tends to relate to the small caps on the JSE. The question is on Long for Life and AVI. And it's quite a sort of detailed question, so bear with me. He says, I see AVI is under caution. Could this be a buyer of Long for Life using its shares? AVI sits on a PE of 17 against Long for Life, which is on a PE of 12. I would have thought Long for Life was actually on a lower PE. Anyway, take the complementary businesses. You've got Green Cross, Feltskin and the distribution via Sportsman's and Outdoor Warehouse. Maybe other AVR products could also be pushed through here. The bottle plants, you've got mixer production, marketing distributed via an AVR network, of course. Long for Life has got the drinks business. The same goes for Sorbet Beauty Products and the recovery of the Sorbet business post-COVID. You would have AVR taking over the 700 million rand cash that Long for Life has on its balance sheet, plus AVR's own cash would provide a sizable war chest. And of course, to retain the services of Mr. Joffe, notwithstanding his intention to move to the chairmanship position. I'm sure he could do a lot with shares rated on a 17 PE, which of course is one of his bugbears, is that Long for Life has been so underrated. I think this was the Bidvest way. What do you think? Jonathan, do you think that is a possible scenario? There's been a lot of speculation as to what the AVR cautionary actually indicates. Do you think it could be a buyer rather than the target of another buyer?
Listen, that's quite a, I wouldn't say outlandish type of thesis. I mean, it could possibly work. I mean, in my mind, AVI is almost the biggest part of the business is a branded food business, or almost like a Tiger Brands in a way. So then I think in my mind, well, how does that fit into Long for Life's underlying businesses? I can understand there's the beverage side of the business, which would fit in quite well there. But then what about the rest of everything else? Yes, there's Green Cross in AVI, which would tie in well with Sportsman's Warehouse. But what about the big branded food product business of AVR? I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting thesis. Whether that is what's going on or not, I don't know. Possibly, the companies are talking to each other. Then why didn't they put out a joint cautionary? I don't know.
Well, yeah, there is that. Zwelak, I'm going to get your thoughts on AVR, Long for Life, and maybe each on their own merits after the break. So do stay with us. Keep sending your questions via SMS to 41392, stockmatch@bdtv.co.za or at Business Day TV. More Stockwatch coming up right after this. Business.